So as we continue this Advent series, as we've been looking at these first few verses in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 1, as Tom said, he nicked the passage as well, but it's a passage worth repeating. So Sally's going to come and read this passage for us today from Matthew chapter 1, and Sally's going to read this morning. Thank you.
The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from all their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet: "The virgin will be the child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sally, reading that so clearly for us today. So you all look very relaxed this morning, can I just say? Are you feeling relaxed? It's almost as if you're ready for Christmas. Is that fair to say? Is everything done? All the lists ticked off? All the presents bought? All the cards sent? No? Yes, some of you, but not all of you. But it is amazing, isn't it, how much time and energy and emotion is all wrapped up in the focus of one particular day, and how that sort of laser beam of emotions all gather round on that 25th of December for many of us. And this year may well be a different year for you this year, maybe for some of you. Maybe there's going to be an empty place at the table this year where someone who you've loved and cared for so long won't be there this year. Maybe for that others of you, maybe it's the first Christmas since you got married. Maybe that's the excitement this particular year. Or maybe you've had a new baby and this is their first Christmas as part of your family. There's so many different emotions that will be traveling around on this particular day. And not least, of course, when you unwrap your presents and the thrill of getting just what you want, but the disappointment of getting just what you need. That's what I always find as well. When somebody's decided for me what I need rather than what I want, I'm sure I won't be disappointed this year at all. And of course, so many things are just for Christmas that just stay in that particular slot of what we call Christmas. I mean, Christmas jumpers. Any today? I can see one jumper today. Well done. Christmas socks. Anybody wearing Christmas socks already? Yes, well done. Well done. I've got a few in my drawer to roll out a little bit. Christmas cards, of course. Cake, pudding, carols, crackers, sprouts, pigs in blankets, and pickled walnuts, which you have to have just for Christmas. If you've never tried pickled walnuts, can I suggest you buy them this year and give them a go, because Christmas isn't Christmas in our house without pickled walnuts. So have a go next time you go shopping. They're delicious. And Christmas jokes, of course, you know. I'm sure Christmas jokes, like this one. Can I try this one on you? Mary and Joseph, they had a stable relationship. That is quite funny, isn't it? You know, it's a step up on someone here who has far too many jokes in their locker to tell us. But of course, it's too easy, isn't it, just because of all that, just to miss Christmas. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but it's a danger that we may well miss Christmas. Christmas can become a bit nostalgic, can't it, if we're not careful, when Bing Crosby and Cliff Richard and family traditions, which are all great, by the way, I've got nothing against any of those. But perhaps this year we need to discover something brand new in this story, in this ancient story that we're so familiar with. Maybe there's something brand new just hidden in the manger that you and I could rediscover, could discover for the first time on this particular year. What is God still trying to say to us today? If the coming of Jesus was a sign then for the people then, what is it telling us? What is the sign that God is desperately trying to help us to see so that we can navigate our way through in the best way possible to have that flourishing life that that prayer with our Advent candle reminded us Jesus had come to bring us? Of course, Christmas is God speaking to us. You know, God spoke to us out of history. Out of history, as we saw a couple of weeks ago in that genealogy that Matthew has right at the beginning of his gospel. And you'll find a genealogy that Luke has as well, slightly different. But it's telling us this is an ongoing story. This is history continuing for us. It also happened in history as well. Jesus came at a particular moment in time, a particular historical moment. I mean, Luke chapter 2, I'm guessing you may have read this at some particular time. Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Jesus came at a particular moment in history. And he came to a people who would then become part of history as well. And through a baby, he would affect the whole of history from that moment on. See, at that time, the Roman Empire was at its height, and God chose that moment to come. The empire thought it was in control, but in that moment, God strikes back. This one moment in history is about to affect every moment throughout eternity. But what does this sign say to us? What does this baby have to say about who God is? And why he came. What was God's purpose for the coming of Jesus in the way he did? Well, I've just got three things for you this morning. Firstly, I think Jesus came to fulfill God's promises. God had been promising something significant and extraordinary for centuries. Just have a read through the Old Testament story. You'll see it. God consistently reminded his people, no matter how fickle they had been, he was faithful and he would fulfill his promises to his people. And Jesus brought full meaning and impact into that entire Old Testament story. The story of salvation that God had promised, fulfilled in Jesus. God saves, rescues us. He completes what the law of Moses had pointed to, but could never, ever fulfill. We looked last week at Jesus, the name of Jesus, which means, as we were reminded again in that reading, it means he will save his people from their sins. If you look back into Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8, this is what the psalmist wrote. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. See, centuries before Jesus, who would save his people from his sins, there it is, echoing in the story. God came to fulfill his promises in Jesus. He came to redeem us of all our sins. And this long, frustrating journey that generation after generation had been through, hoping and longing that their generation would be the generation when God would show up. But now it had happened in Jesus. That God was bringing his people back. He was bringing them out of exile. He was rescuing them. He was saving them. He fulfilled all his promises in Jesus. You know, in Hebrews, and I read this last Sunday morning, but this is such a powerful opening to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. God had all these promises, and now in Jesus, he has spoken them all into being. They are yes and amen because of Jesus. God is speaking to us. And today he's spoken to us by a son. He came in flesh, speaking volumes in the cry of a baby, in the gentleness and vulnerability of this brand new life, a language we can all understand. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet says, "For to us a child is born." To us. "For to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." He's come to us. That's the truth. He fulfills God's promises in that moment. The living, creative, powerful word of God himself. And he's still speaking today if we will just take a moment to be still enough to listen. What was it that happened when the angels came to the shepherds? Luke 2 says, "The shepherds said to each other, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Here's the culmination of expectation. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. No theological debate, no reluctance, no fear. They understood and they went. Here's the moment. Let's not miss it again. Now, if you've ever been present at the birth of a baby, you'll know that it is rarely clean and tidy. You'll also know that everyone in the room is waiting with bated breath, almost on tiptoe, to hear the first cry of that newborn child. And as soon as the cry happens, it's like, "Oh, he's come, she's come." I think heaven is on tiptoe in every moment, waiting to see how we will respond to Jesus, how we might respond to the fact that God has fulfilled his promises to us, and whether we, like the shepherds, will say, "Let us go and see this thing that has happened, that we have been told about," the readiness of a response to the promises God has given to us. Heaven's waiting for us to come and worship him. But I think there's another thing, that Jesus not only came to fulfill God's promises, but I think he came to close the gap that everybody knew was there. Hebrews goes on in chapter 1 and verse 3. It goes on to say this: "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." The Son, Jesus, is the exact representation of God himself. Jesus closes the gap. If we're wondering what God is like, Jesus showed us. If we're wondering how we reach God, Jesus made it possible. He closed the gap through his coming because he's the exact representation of the Father. He's with us. Now, if you've ever taken a stab at guessing who a baby looks like, are you very successful at that? I never even start. I just think it's a baby, to be honest. I know that's hard and callous and that reveals my heart to you, but it's a baby. But people go around and they've just got their dad's eyes or their mother's mouth or their grandfather's nose, and I think that's pretty tough, isn't it, to have all those three things in one baby. But anyway, never mind. But here's Jesus, the exact representation of God. In Jesus, we find God himself. Yeah, the Greek word used in that Hebrew for representation is character. He is the exact character of God. It's talking about a stamp that engraves the same image time and time and time again. He's the exact representation of God. God made flesh, the human and divine, colliding in that one moment, fused together, revealing to us who we were created to be in relationship with a God who closes the gap between us in the coming of Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Not distant from us, not remote from us, not uncaring about us, not uncaring about our situation, but God with us, closing that gap. People throughout generations had desperately tried to close that gap. The whole sacrifice system was a desperate attempt to close that gap. People who didn't have a faith in the Creator God would be striving to find a God who might fulfill their needs, who might close that gap, would give them a good harvest, would make sure the sun shone. Whatever it was, they would be sacrificing to any God. They would have images and statues. They would bow down to them because they were desperate to close the gap. But they had to keep on sacrificing. They had to keep on bowing down. They had to keep on offering things to the gods. But Jesus, the exact representation of God, came to close the gap for us, to make it possible for us to understand what God is like. It's a staggering idea, isn't it? In fact, the Romans used to call the Christians atheists, because they didn't have any statues or idols around. And they thought, how on earth can you have a God if you can't have a statue or idol to them? But they had Jesus. That's the difference. Because he's God with us. As Tom reminded us in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And he did nick that bit of the sermon from me. But it's Christmas. I'll forgive him of that one. It talked about this virgin would conceive and this son would be given to us. You know, the context for that prophecy wasn't really looking forward to Jesus, although of course we know now it does. But in that historical moment, the nation was under threat from during the reign of King Ahaz, the king of Judah. And these were really dark times for the people of Judah. And there was a great fear of attack coming down from the north from the king of Israel and the king of Syria, who were going to collude together and try and put a puppet king in charge in Judah itself. And so here's Ahaz and the people in fear of what might happen. And these words of God are spoken into that moment to them. You will get a sign. You don't need to fear. God is looking out for you. And this is the sign that a virgin will conceive and will bear a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. In the middle of the fear of the darkest moment of invasion into the nation, of the exile of the king, into that God says, I'm going to be with you. Don't fear. There is hope because there's a God who closes the gap. God closes the gap between fear and hope. And he'll do that for you as well. Whatever the fears, whatever the concerns, whatever the huge things that are happening, God has closed that gap so that you can trust him in those moments. When we feel threatened, when we feel under attack, when the forces of evil surround us and we don't have anywhere to turn, God says, I am with you. I am with you. And what became military salvation for King Ahaz back then has become manifest salvation for all of us. The reality that we can be saved. The gap is closed. The Lord said to Mary, I'm with you. Jesus said to his followers just before he went back into heaven, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. When Jesus stood in that room with his frightened followers because he said, I'm going to go away. But you know what? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who will be with you forever. See, he hasn't left us. He continues to ensure that gap is closed. And Christmas is the guarantee that that is true. The guarantee that God is with us right in the gloom of a stable so that we can live confidently in the light of his presence. And thirdly, I want to suggest that God's purpose was that Jesus came to build a kingdom. He came to build something that would last forever, for eternity, until he came back again. And he called us to that task to build that kingdom. This new and startling way forward, a kingdom, not an empire. When Jesus started preaching, this is what he declared. You can read it in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. This is what Jesus said about why he'd come. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the startling news that in Jesus the kingdom is here. It's not there, it's here. It's here right now. God is for us. Hebrews continues, chapter 1, verse 3. After he had provided purification for sins, Jesus, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He sat down, job done for him, job passed on to his people to continue to build the kingdom. Because God is for us. And this is God's great initiative with the biggest, most pressing need of all for us to know and to feel and to do something about. Have you seen the John Lewis advert this year? I know not many of you have seen the Coca-Cola advert. I know that from a couple of weeks ago. But you may have seen the John Lewis advert. Anyway, if you haven't, and there are other shops available to go and buy things, so please be aware of that. But the John Lewis advert this year is about an alien girl who lands on Earth. And a boy helps her to understand what Christmas is all about. And it has this title, The Unexpected Guest. And so he introduces this visitor to the delights of the season, wearing novelty jumpers, of course, eating mince pies and throwing snowballs, which, of course, is all Christmas is all about. But whatever you make of TV adverts, whatever you make of all the Christmas adverts that are on, they do reflect a longing about the need for a relationship and our desperation to find something that will last, that has echoed through every single generation. See, it's not the sentiments that are wrong about Christmas and those adverts, but it's where people are searching for solutions that is the problem. They always seem to end up in the wrong place. And we get disappointed and we start the search all over again. The adverts spell out a need, but they can never deliver what we really are looking for. You see, at just the right time, Jesus came. At just the right time, Jesus came to build a kingdom, a place where everyone could be welcome, where everyone would feel included, where everyone could know the freedom of forgiveness and hope of a future, where everyone's life could flourish. Because God is for us, that nothing can separate us from his love, from his joy, from his peace, that his kingdom, that lies right at the heart of his kingdom. And that our deepest needs, our hopes and fears through all the years can be met in him today, tonight. God set in motion a divine rescue plan that Jesus would come and build a kingdom that would last, that we get to be part of. You know, this Christmas, maybe more than any other Christmas, you may feel the need to be loved. To feel the need that you belong. To feel the need that you're not alone. And the best stories that are around at Christmas, Home Alone and A Christmas Carol, they all point to this bigger story that we long to be true. And in Jesus, it is true. There is someone who longs to embrace you. There's someone who longs to welcome you into his family. There's someone who longs for you to allow him to carry your fears and who will fill your hopes as well, to bring you into a family, into the kingdom that will last forever. Jesus came to fulfill all God's promises because he came to you, to us. He came to close the gap because he is with you. He's with us. And he came to build a kingdom because he is for us. He is for you. And you can find future and hope and forgiveness and freedom and joy and peace in him and in him alone. That's my prayer for this Christmas for us all, that we'll find that fresh new look at who Jesus is and understand just why he came. Let's pray together, shall we? And the musicians are going to come and they're going to help us as they sing for us this morning. They're going to sing a song that says, from the squalor of a borrowed stable. And we're just going to stay sat down as we listen. I mean, please feel free to join in the words as well, of course. But here, starting in this squalor, comes life in all its fullness. So let's pray and then we'll listen as this song is sung for us today as we come to a finish this morning. Father God, we want to thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love for us that sent him to earth at just the right time. Thank you that you came to literally close that gap between us, and so that we would never be alone. We would never need to strive because, Jesus, you came and you fulfilled all those promises and you gave us hope and a future and forgiveness and freedom. So I pray this morning for anyone here in the room or watching online who might just want to make this step of faith this morning, who might want to just say, God, I'm going to trust you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that there is forgiveness in him. And I'm sorry for all that I've done that isn't pleasing to you. But today, I ask you, Jesus, come and flood me with your forgiveness. Thank you that your arms are open wide to welcome me into your kingdom, into the family. May today be a day of salvation that heaven's been waiting for. And today becomes reality for you right now. Jesus gave his life for you. So please give your life to him and start this incredible adventure, this journey that he's calling you to. Thank you, Lord, for those who are committing themselves to following you. May they find joy in who you are and freedom in forgiveness today. Amen. Father, for those of us who need to renew our commitment to you today, we start afresh. We say, Jesus, thank you that you're with me, you're for me. And today I choose to be with you and for you. I choose to keep my eyes fixed on you today. I turn away from the things that are wrong and I look towards you, Jesus. Thank you that you welcome me back home today. And Father, I pray for all of us that we might experience the fullness of your love. May this year be a significant time for us to reaffirm our desire to follow you, to respond to your call to serve you, and to grow lives that reflect you into this world today. Pour out your Spirit, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Do a new thing in us today as we look at you, Jesus, and worship you. Thank you, Lord.